are in the labor movement is in at the depredations of the NSA running amok over the internet. All of that, each dollar that you put into endeavors like this is multiplied many times over as it filters through the financial ecosystem. Just wanted to put that thought out there. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Headlines first, we're going to be hearing from Kevin Gastola from Fire Dog Lake. He's been covering the NATO 3 trial. They were acquitted, and we're going to find out exactly how that happened in just a moment. Right now, here in Cascadia, however, state regulators issued 3 permits for Ember Energy's proposed coal export terminal in Boardman. So much for the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, more like the Oregon Department of Conflict of Interest Quality. There are few hurdles left. There are a few things that still stand in the way. But one of them that you and I actually have control over is, how about this? A group of people could get together, put some money in a pool, buy an ad in the New York Times travel section sometime around March when people are making their plans to visit Portland for the Rose Fats Festival and whatnot. We could put together an ad, take up half a page, and advise travelers, don't come to Oregon. If you are here to see beautiful scenery, green vistas, lovely mountains, hiking trails, kayaking, because you could get hit with a massive cloud of coal, and it could happen at any time. Don't take the chance. Don't visit Oregon this summer. Stay away. We are now a coal exporting state where you could suddenly find yourself poisoned. Is a thought. The only thing that really touched. Just these people seems to be the redoubtable bottom line. And the general public seems also to have forgotten that were it not for the early heroes and heroines of the American labor movement, they wouldn't have 40-hour week, work week, overtime, workplace safety, and all of that. Also, were it not for teachers, we would not be still just by a mere hair's breadth of thread leading in technological innovation. We love the idea of supporting education, but we don't like the idea of supporting teachers, do we? It seems. And out there on Megalode Road, an Oregon tribal leader and an environmental activist have filed a petition for review in Marion County Circuit Court. What this claims is that officials did not hold hearings or provide opportunities for public comment on the megalodes. And funny how some government employees are apparently do not deserve the pensions that they were promised, right? The PERS pensions. Oh no, those people worked all their lives for their pension. Now they're not going to get it. But guess what? The military is. Gee, I wonder how that worked. And a growing number of aging Cuban exiles are becoming disenchanted with the social Darwinism, the American way, and they seem to be turning their backs on the land of opportunity in droves. More headlines in there, but we've got guests waiting, and we want to get to them right now. First, Kevin Gastola with Fire Dog Lake, a relentless reporter, always there, always covering the front lines of the resistance and activism. Good morning. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Morning to you.
Well, so the NATO 3, they were acquitted. Can you bring us all up to speed on the last phases of that trial, which should never have, I mean, we have it's got a little of everything, informants, false witnesses, the government witnesses. Can you talk a little bit about it and how we ended up where we are? Are they safely and clearly out of harm's way?
There's a lot going on with the case and a jury in a state terrorism case in Illinois acquitted these 3 young men of all these terrorism charges. The reason it was significant was they were basically made to be involved in these alleged crimes by the fact that there were two undercover police officers from Chicago that decided to target them, and they found their identities, these three men, the NATO three, through the widespread police surveillance operation that they had ongoing in the months, immediate months before there was going to be a major NATO meeting in Chicago. And these three had come from Florida, part of the Occupy movement, and they came to protest at the demonstration, but being picked up with recorded conversations and things they were saying, the police not liking what they were saying, believing they were going to commit violence, they were arrested and then immediately labeled as terrorists.
Why do you think that the three were susceptible to the story that the undercover police, the informants, essentially, were feeding them? Why? How did? It's sort of, we always say we won't be fooled again. How did this? Do you think this happened?
Well, I think it happened because they're from Chicago. They were out-of-towners. They weren't part of the activist community. There are people who are activists here in Chicago who admit that they were off to the side at some times, and they weren't really sure how they would relate to them. They were from Florida, and they were new. At least one of them, the youngest 20-year-old named Brian Jacob Church, he said, I've never done anything like this in my life. This is going to be his first large political protest he's going to be a part of. And of course, being young, he wanted to make a mark, and he wasn't quite sure how to do it, but he felt like he was going to be attacked by the police probably, and their little group had to find some way to defend themselves against the police. And that bragging sort of conversation that was picked up, where things were talked about of things they could do, that was interpreted as a conspiracy to commit some terrorism.
So this is, it has some elements of the Brandon Darby type of situation, but it seems that they had having no affinity group, that would have made having an affinity group would have made a difference. Apparently in Florida they had an affinity group. Just to close here before we let you go, and let listeners know that the whole episode is covered beautifully on Fire Dog Lake, and you can read all of it, and it's very, very important for people in the activist community and those who support, those who stand in solidarity, to know about this. Can you tell people a little bit more, Fire Dog Lake, and how to find out more about the NATO 3 and moving forward, the importance of affinity groups, for one thing?
Yeah, just go to firedoglake.com. All the reports are there. What I covered here was part of a long line of history in Chicago of targeting activists, not necessarily unique to Chicago, but it's a critical story, and it was a major terrorism case that the state thought it was bringing, and they lost.
Thanks so much for that, Kevin. We've been speaking with Kevin Restola. We've got someone from All Against the Hall who's waited patiently throughout the program. We'll get you on the show tomorrow and talk megaloads then. This has been Cascadia for Wednesday, February 12th, 2014. And now it is time to go talk with Sam Parrish and others out there in the membership room about the multiplier effect of endeavors like this, of KBOO stations like this that use your money to strengthen.
To strengthen you and your community. My name is Sam. I'm joined by others, not just any others, though, but the other that we call Will.
That's me, folks.
Good morning, Will.
Good morning, Sam. And it's a pleasure to be here.
Good morning, Mike in Cloverdale, who has come down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, and made his donation in person.
Thank you, Mike.
Why don't you come on down here? Let us meet you. Come meet us. See the faces behind the voices. And I guarantee you, folks, we have the faces for radio. So join Mike, who came all the way from Cloverdale. Join my friends Ron and
Dominique
from Beaverton. They opted to call 877-500-5278. 666, the manner in which you become involved and the level at which you come involved, those are important considerations, but the most important is that you get involved. Maybe you'll use the website, kboo.fm, and you'll click on that cartoon jar that says, donate today. However you do it now.
And there's a lot more on that website. There's all sorts of photographs and information about what's going on at KBOO, upcoming events, previous events that we've hosted. There's so much going on at KBOO. There's so much on our website. And when you donate, when you call up 877-500-5266, that's 877-500-5266. When you make that phone call, you'll be supporting all the events that KBOO puts on, all the great radio shows. And I got to tell you, folks, Chris Andre is a unique presenter of news and information. I always enjoy her show. There's so much packed into such a short amount of time. And you can't get that on any other radio station. So you can show your gratitude by calling up 877-500-5266.
And let KBOO show its gratitude to you. And you can choose, we heard from Mike Rose in the previous hour about his book, Why School? Reclaiming Education for All of Us. And that's just $5 a month, $60 for the year. However you do it, just do it right now. Where else do you hear about the NATO 3 and movements for solidarity to support them in their struggle for justice and to resist the repression of the U.S. war machine? I mean, Will, you said you listened to many different sources and that you found KBOO to be the most reliable and most useful. Is anyone else mentioning the NATO 3?
I haven't heard one mention of it.
You have not heard boo about this elsewhere, only on the boo.
I listen to other radio stations occasionally. One that's, I can't say what it's called, but let's say it rhymes with Schmo PB. And they do not cover this NATO 3 subject. They don't cover a lot of the subjects that KBOO diligently covers. And it's really important that we hear the voice of KBOO. And I know you folks out there feel the same way. So when you call up at 877-500-5266, you'll be showing your support for this vital news source.
So now we're going back to a little bit more of what we're asking you to support. We're going to check in with Dennis Bernstein and the Flashpoints crew from Berkeley. Let us know what's happening in that part of town in the struggle for justice all up and down the West Coast. Regional solidarity. Call now, 877-500-5266.
Call us. Please.
Flashpoints, we feature an in-depth update on the situation in Israeli-occupied Palestine, and we'll be joined to do that by Ziad Abbas, director of the Middle East Children's Alliance. Also, later on in the broadcast, we'll feature a regular weekly report on occupation and other Israeli-related operations coming out of the electronic intifada.net. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. Talking about the revolution. It's finally the table are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. And, well, Ziad Abbas, we need a revolution. We need a revolution when it comes to occupied Palestine. And we need a revolution in the media, in the corporate media in the United States, to begin to tell the truth. Because when it comes to Israeli occupation, when it comes to this kind of hegemony, when it comes to weaponry and being a nuclear renegade, Israel gets the free ride, the press becomes the cheerleader, and the Palestinian people continue to suffer. And at this point, the suffering that's happening because of the war in Syria and what's happening in the camps in Lebanon is extraordinary. You want to talk a little bit about that, Ziad Abbas, and welcome to Flashpoints.
Yeah, thank you for having me in your program. Actually, what's going on right now is something like Palestinian people, they are running everywhere. And to follow what's going on with Palestine, it's not something easy these days, because we have the sanction and the siege on Gaza Strip. We have West Bank, and we have actions every day in West Bank. Actually, I can call it like it's the beginning of certain kind of intifada. But if you follow that, what's going on in the ground in West Bank and how the Israeli army respond and attack Palestinian villages in the ground in West Bank, you will think that there's something going on. The media is not covering what's going on exactly in Palestine, and not covering not just what the Israeli army doing against Palestinian people, not covering what the Israeli settlers and their daily activities against Palestinian and different villages and towns in West Bank. At the same time, we Palestinian people, we are over 7 million Palestinian refugees, and we are different parts of the world. And especially these days, that the situation in Syria and the tragedy actually in Syria and the tragedy for Palestinian refugees in Yarmouk refugee camp, where thousands of people still living in very bad conditions and people dying from hunger because the siege around the camp and the clashes, the civil war going on in Syria. The same, the refugees who left Syria and they moved to Lebanon. And here I'm speaking about Syrian refugees and Palestinian refugees. They were living in Syria and they moved to Lebanon and to Jordan and to Turkey. And especially in Lebanon, they are living in very, very bad conditions. I can say as Palestinian, it's not easy for us because we have families everywhere. We have families in the, I call it, five locations: Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, West Bank, and Gaza Strip. And we are worried. Every day you wake up, you are looking for the news, and you are afraid when you get any international call, because this is your family and the people you know, they are facing a hard time. It seems like we are facing a new era in this part of the world, and I believe it will not stay as it is. Something coming, you can feel it. There is something coming in the whole region, because the stability of the region, it's impossible to see it.